Okay, we can start the puja now. So Sri Anand will choose to help light the candle and the incense. Today is the 26th, or 25th, not yet 26th. 25th of July 2019, Thursday class. Okay, so who are the two lucky ones? Yeah. Light the candle. Joanne. Yeah, I like. Sadhu. Joanne, go. The two of you. Yeah, that one is very powerful. It's just like this flame, when it's collected and unwavering. It's like a laser. That's why in that state of mind, the direct seeing is very clear. Because that monolithic sadhu, this is the one. That's all. Some of the light. Sadhu. 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 Okay, you all can listen to that. Then we can get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava Buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated and turn to page one of the chanting book. Yeah? We shall chant the Vandana onward. Namo Atas Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapada samādiyami. Padang samadhiyami kamesu micchācāra veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna Sarapatitena Dipena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang Ganda sambarayotena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja baca namo temang wanna ganda guno petang etang kesuma santatin Pujayami Munindasa Siripada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kasumena Nena Punnena Tena Cha Hotu Mokhang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante Pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang Adivasetunobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patikan hatumutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of Dana Parami, our generosity, and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power. Then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Badang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of silent awareness meditation. Yeah? Just relax body and mind. Yeah? Make sure you have a stable posture. Then your backbone is straight. Yeah? And silent your mind. Close your eye and straight away develop your meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you proceed straight away. Yeah? Then for those who need to train your mind, you continue to do it. And for those whose spiritual faculty is already quite stable or quite developed, you technically no need to train. You straight away relax, silent, and allow whatever thinking or thought to slow down. Then the silent mind will arise. Yeah? Then relax into whatever mind state that arises. Remember the four support. Relax and maintain awareness. No matter what happens, just aware, aware, aware. You can be aware of tactile or whatever that is going on. Then later on, when you are skillful, you can be aware of your subtle breathing or your object of meditation. Then after that, finally, your awareness will drop to your heart area. If you can drop to your heart area, then it's good. You just silent everything and just feel, don't do anything. So the four support is very simple. Relax, away. Then number three is 24-hour continuous awareness if you can, to maintain the awareness for as long as you can. And finally, when you can detect the gateway or your true mind, you just let the nature do. That's why the fourth support is trust. No need to use mind or thought. If you don't use your mind, you become silent very fast. Your true nature, which is just awareness, they will surface. Then you just stay with that awareness. When you stabilize that awareness, it will have the ability to understand many things. Use that silence to develop the wisdom and the understanding. The meditation will happen by itself. Without awareness, you cannot be mindful and heedful. It's only through sati. When you stabilize it, it becomes collected and unwavering. Then it becomes very quiet, very peaceful. Then even whatever object of meditation you still need to use, you can use it. But all these objects of meditation will finally become very quiet, very still, and very subtle until the mind enters sati. That is most important. Until you can realize the silent mind, which is your true mind. So when you can realize your silent mind, if you stabilize that, the mind will enter sati, because the more refined sati will arise. When you can stay there without movement, without activity, that's how you stabilize your sati. And it's a very natural free state of mind, born of understanding. And because this awareness, together with the consciousness, they are trapped inside the form and mind, especially the physical form. So whatever that happened in nature, when the sense data come and develop contact with the mind and the sense bases, through that silence you will understand clearly what the Buddha meant in the dependent origination. Upon contact, what happened? Then what is avijja paccaya sankhara? You will see it very clearly, and you will understand it very clearly. Then you will know upon contact actually a lot of things happen. Then when you are mindful and very stable, you can be at the moment of perception, at the moment of sankhara, at the moment of activity, or even at the moment of contact, or even at the moment of consciousness, before the content goes in. It is because you can have such sensitivity, that's why you can develop the wisdom and the understanding. Without that stability of mindfulness, you cannot do it. Then for those who are training their mind, if you can develop the sati, you can be mindful of whatever object of meditation that you are using to train the mind to develop sati. It can be anapanasati or whatever. Then you just relax into it and allow it to go through the whole process. When sati is developed, the mind will calm down and you will experience piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness. Sometimes people call it spiritual rapture. The mind like develop that type of rapture, that type of joy, or spiritual calmness. You feel very good. Then you will like to meditate. You will continue to develop the anapanasati or the mindfulness of whatever object of meditation you are in. Then remember to relax into it. Otherwise, you will go into continuous absorption. Or sometimes people go and focus, develop concentration. That's why relaxation is very important. When you relax into it, you break away the concentration or the energy field. Then when you relax, the mind becomes quiet and peaceful. Relaxation will also free the physical body and mind from whatever stress or tension or tightness. That's why you need to learn how to relax. The more relaxed you are able to go into, the more refined your meditation will be. Ability to relax is something you must learn. It is very deep. It has many layers, levels and stages. You may think you are relaxed, but when you really understand what relaxation means, when your sati stabilizes, you can detect a lot of stress within your form and mind. You are not really relaxed. Your mind is not really a free mind, not holding on to anything. But when you are relaxed, the mind is really a free mind, not holding on to anything. And it can be at peace without doing anything. That's how you can be with your true mind, the awareness within. When there is no thought, no movement, that is your true nature, the true mind. But the thought come in very fast. That's why don't try to know. The moment you try to know, the thought come in, it will disrupt the tranquility, the stillness of mind. So just let things be. Whatever contact arise or whatever through the sense door arise, just aware, finish. Don't continue. Don't create any more thought. That's how you meditate. So I will let you continue with your meditation. With this understanding, I hope you can develop the meditation better. You can go into it deep. So meditation got two parts, always remember. First part is to train the mind to develop sati. Then when sati is already there, stabilize it until mind enters sati, until you can realize the free mind in silent awareness, the stillness of mind, the tranquility of mind, which is paucity. When that mind arises, you can meditate. You will develop a lot of understanding. When you can have that type of mind, means your initial wisdom is more or less stable and there. Without the initial wisdom, not easy. Okay, I let you meditate on your own. And when the half hour is up, the alarm will go off. Then I will ring the bell. Then you can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then the page 6, we will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devatha Sadhammam Munira Sunantu Sagamokadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Savanakalo Ayam Badanta
Iti Pis. Oh, sorry. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sabuddho veja carana sampano sugato lokavido anutaro purisa dhamma sarati sat Sata Deva Manosanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pajatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samicipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yatidam chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasangho Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakineyo, anjali karaneyo, anuterang punyaketang lokasati, sadu, sadu, sadu. Okay, let us pay respect to Paja. Bendang Paja. Damang Paja. Sanghang Paja. Okay, you all can be seated. Then just relax body and mind. Yeah? Then we can continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have regarding the meditation or the teaching, you can ask. Okay, you just have to raise your hand. Anybody? Good. Tammy, pass the mic to Tammy. Oh yeah, Jin Hao not around. Yeah, tell me. Never mind, it's okay. You can go ahead. Tell me. Yeah.
Good evening, Brother Teo and all the camp. My question is regarding. I want to ask you because I kind of noticed that there's a comparison happened in the mind. Because just now when I was meditating, I felt that there was thoughts. And sometimes when the mind is not rejecting, then it's accept. Then it's rejecting, it's not accept. Then I kind of reflect once last time when I just started. Then I remember I sit for a while like that. Then when I sit for a while, I couldn't see all the thoughts very clear. It's like all like happening.
It may move very fast sometimes.
But after the short sitting, I will feel very refreshing.
Like you recuperate. You become fresh. Because your mind is quiet, aware. Then whatever activity moves is the natural movement of sankhara. Your daily life, if you have not stabilized your daily mindfulness, means your spiritual faculty is still not stabilized or developed, then this sankhara will arise. This sankhara is very, very strong. For normal puttajana, it's like non-stop, non-stop. In fact, the Vamika Sutta describe what the word they use, blazing by the night and don't know what, I forgot already. The day and the night, whatever. Because it's so fast, the sankhara. So, all this depends on your training. So, if your training is not the type that is already very stable, then you will have to expect this sankhara coming out. That's why the thought will arise. But never mind, let it arise. No need to do anything. And when you let it arise, like what she realizes, you are more relaxed, at peace, because you are not trying to fight that thing. You understand? Because when you develop unhappiness, because you think you want to meditate, the mind must not have this type of restlessness, thinking, heedlessness and movement. Then you want the mind to be quiet and it's not quiet. So this is internal conflict. You create conflict of a mundane mind that want the mind to be quiet, peaceful. And this is craving. That craving will prevent you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. The reason being, that craving is a mental hindrance. Your desire. So it is something that you desire. So if you don't create any dislike for that state, then the negative craving no more there, the ill will no more there, then this mental hindrance, the moment is ceased, sati will take over, then your meditation will fall into place. And this is where people cannot understand. And most cultivator or meditator tend to make that mistake is because they have this mundane mind, that thinking mind that is actively doing things. Where they think to meditate, there must be a meditator. And who is the meditator? The thought becomes the meditator. And this thought will go and think. That's why you will go and think of all the method, the technique, what did your teacher tell you, or what did the Buddha say, or what the book write. Then this thought is actively doing a lot of mental, heedless thinking inside there. Then it reacts to sense experience. Then when you experience pain or restlessness of mind, you become agitated. You are not at peace because you don't have the understanding of what is meditation as taught by the Buddha. The meditation as taught by the Buddha is very simple. It's heedfulness. You need to be heedful. The moment you are heedful, you are home. So to be heedful, there are two parts, like what we used to write on the whiteboard. You must always start from there. Am I training my mind to be heedful? So heedfulness is equals to ever mindful plus constantly meditative. Means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. To be ever mindful, you must first develop mindfulness. That's why all meditation start with training the mind to be aware or mindful first. Then you stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then only you can use it to meditate, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And the outcome of it is heedfulness. And the heedful never die. The Buddha already mentioned them under Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never dies. Whereas if you don't train your mind to be heedful, the heedless are as if dead, the Buddha said. You don't stand a chance. And heedlessness is the path to the dead. So all meditation start from there. So whatever happens when you relax, tell me, the whatever background thing, forget about it. You have used your thought for too long doing all these things, you understand or not? So go back to this understanding. When you understand this, you will not do that. You will not dare to say, you see your thought, then there is another thought behind telling you this, telling you that. These are all sankhara activity. Why do you want to get yourself involved? That's why I say, you don't fight or suppress the mental hindrance. They arise because your mental spiritual faculty is not there, not stable. So either you train yourself so that the daily mindfulness is very stable and the spiritual faculty are very stable, then the mental hindrance is then very easy to meditate. But most people don't have the ability to train themselves in that manner. Because it's not easy to train yourself to have continuous mindfulness, daily mindfulness, and to stabilize your five spiritual faculty, unless you are the serious type. You constantly listen to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, inquire, then determine to be mindful. Then when you sit, form a meditation, with the spiritual faculty and the training in the daily mindfulness and the initial wisdom, your mind will settle down very fast. But this spiritual faculty, together with the daily mindfulness training, will make you less heedless. When you are less heedless, you are most of the time aware. That's why you can go into the meditative state very easily. So sati will take over. To do that, you must have as little mental hindrance as possible. If possible, hardly any mental hindrance. Otherwise, the hindrance will come out and hinders your mind. So even when you have problem in life or whatever, through your daily life, maybe the First Noble Truth Reality hit you, then when you are caught with the First Noble Truth Reality, if you don't have the stable understanding of the Dhamma, normal people with Dhamma knowledge cannot handle. Because you will worry about that problem. Then it will make you restless. Fear, worry, anxiety will make you restless. And this is a mental hindrance and it's very strong. So you cannot settle down and you cannot meditate. So what you must do is, don't fight the mental hindrance. Don't suppress it. Don't try to control it. Don't try to develop concentration. Just relax. Let it be. The untrained mind is heedless, think a lot. Without spiritual faculty, it will think, let it be. When I let it be, means I don't develop sensual desire or ill will towards whatever sense experience, especially ill will, dislike for that sensation or that mental state which has the restlessness of mind, which is not peaceful, not calm. So when you understand this, through your daily mindfulness and your constant reflection and contemplation of the Dhamma, when you understand the purpose of meditation, the sole purpose is to develop heedfulness and to be heedful like we have gone through. First is to train the mind in sati. Ask that question, am I training my mind to be in sati? If I have the spiritual faculty, I don't need to train. If I have done my daily mindfulness, I hardly have any mental hindrance. The moment I sit, I go into sati, I'm in a meditative state. Yeah. With this understanding, it's very easy to meditate. Then whatever happened in meditation, even let's say your spiritual faculty is not stable, but you have done some already, then you just relax. The sankhara will slow down by itself. Because without any more mental energy to delusion, you don't feed it with any mental thinking or aversion or dislike. When there is no more mental hindrance, there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So it will settle down, the sankhara will settle down, slow down. Then you will enter the meditative state or inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. Just sati will take over. That's why relax, aware. You will go into sati. Then you will realize the true mind, means your natural state of mind before the mental stirring, before the arising of thought. Your true mind actually is stillness, tranquility, silent. The silent mind is your true mind. Without thought, that is your true nature. But the trouble is through ignorance, avijja, self-delusion, through heedless thinking in your daily life, sense, experience that distract you. You don't know how to handle sense experience because you don't have wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Yoniso manasikara lacking. So at the moment of sense experience, you stir your mind, you react like and dislike. So in the meditation, you also do the same thing. And in the daily life, every moment of sense experience, whether you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile, feel something, or think of something, you realize the duality, the light and dislike, pleasant and pleasant, they are so strong inside the puttujana, people who don't have the wisdom, who are not enlightened. So this type of sankhara is very detrimental. It's disruptive. Because when you do this so often, it becomes habitual tendency. Then when it becomes habitual tendency, it develops latent tendency. That's why no matter what you do, throughout the day you are doing that. So the mental hindrances are there. So they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. And this is what the Buddha called heedlessness. J. Krishnamurti called it by a different word. He said you live the life of a disorder. Your mind is not having order. It's like our society. When it's in the state of disorder, means what? Chaotic, understand or not? Having a lot of problem. That's why there will be riot, there will be fighting, there will be chaos, there will be all sorts of problem related to a disorder society. We have like no law. People just do what they like. There is nothing to maintain order. So Hitler's living is very, very karmically very negative. So because of that, you cannot meditate. So this understanding must be very clear. Then only you can meditate. Then whatever happened in meditation, you just talk to the mind. Please allow me to have the space to meditate, to train myself. Whatever that the mind want me to think or handle or deal with, tell the mind. I will do it after the class or the meditation. I will attend to it. But for the time being, have mercy on me. Please do not disturb me. Do not distract me anymore. And then you realize when you talk to the thought in that way, it will not come and disturb you. But the thought, no need to chase you or hurry you or make you restless. You promise the thought you will deal with the situation or problem later. Then the mind, the mundane mind, can accept this. That's why it will not disturb you anymore. Then you can be in a state of relax. And when you choose to meditate, you should be able to meditate. But people who can't meditate is because the mental hindrance are very strong and you don't know how to deal with it. To deal with it is to talk to it, to have the understanding. Then you settle down. So coming back to your question, you don't have to worry about the background thing. You just let things be. Then reflect on the meaning of meditation. What is it that I must do to develop the meditation? Heedfulness. Start from there. So to be heedful, you must be mindful first. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. That's why mind must enter sati finally. The form of meditation you do also, when your anapanasati start or your mindfulness start, when it's there already, you still need to relax into it and silent. Until you experience the piti, the sukhang, then later on, finally, it becomes so subtle, so quiet, so still. That is pasati. And when you stabilize that pasati, then your mind enters sati. Enter sati means the mind is in sati. Means you have realized the more refined mindfulness or sati. Means you don't have to do anything, even the subtle breathing like no movement, or hardly any movement, very subtle. Your sati can detect it because it is already continuous and very fine. This is the more refined. Then after that, whatever movement and activity within your physical body is like magnified, very, very clear. Then everything is like your awareness and the movement is one. That's why you can be aware of your heartbeat, whatever vibration, whatever subtle breathing. Then wherever you locate your mind, you can feel the vibration inside there. Then when you silent, it's spacious awareness without a center. Then this mind, can be aware of anything that arises within the six center. Then later on, when you realize that pure awareness, the oneness nature, you are one with nature, then you can be like that mind is one with the whole oneness. So whatever you want to understand or perceive, the awareness can perceive. Even distant sound, distant vibration that normal hearing cannot hear, you can hear. It becomes very clear to you. Then everything that arises within that oneness, your mind is like one with them during that time. That's why that mind is very different. That mind become like super normal because it has that stillness. You are in contact with your true mind. When you are one with your true mind without the thought, that mind is a meditative mind. That mind can understand many things. Okay? You continue, yeah. Yeah.
Right, yeah, just now. Thank you for explanation.
Yeah.
But I got one question from what you said.
Yeah.
What I wanted to know is, just now you advise us that you talk to the mind and then let the mind know that you are meditating now. So
no, you need the space to meditate. So ask the thought not to disturb you, not to come and like hurry you. Because when you have problem, that is when you have problem. Means the first noble truth really hit you, like you have financial problem or health problem. This thought keep on haunting you on, make you fearful, worry, anxiety, and want you to act, and you don't know how to act. Because most people without the Dhamma don't know how to act. To act means very simple. When you understand, you just talk to the mind. After the meditation, I will attend to it. Yeah. Then when you have the wisdom ready, the thought loses its power towards you. Because this is a reality. First noble truth reality. Not only happened to me, happened to all living beings. So it's a common reality. So this is the first noble truth, reality of life and existence. The eight conditions that can condition suffering in living beings who don't have the Dhamma, don't have the understanding of the teaching. So without wisdom, they will get themselves afflicted, entangled, suffering will arise. That's why when you worry about it, you develop suffering. Worrying will not solve your problem. So worry is associated with fear, anxiety, leading to sorrow and lamentation. This is how human beings suffer. Then they go into depression. Then after that, they say, myself die. Now that's how the suicidal thought arises. Because they cannot take it really. It is like they are being pushed to the wall and they don't know how to resolve this thing. Actually, it's just a thought. How come it has such power over you? Who are you? What are you? The thought is never you. But how come the thought has such power over you? You have to ask yourself that question. Why am I allowing the thought to have such power to make me so miserable? Because through ignorance, you think the wrong thought. Understand not? Through ignorance, you think the wrong thought. And when you think the wrong thought, it conditions your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your insecurity. Then your scars or memory or whatever, all this surface. That's how people get themselves entangled. Suffering arise. So all this you must reflect and contemplate. Don't go and think after you hear it, you understand already. No. You have to reflect, contemplate until very, very clear, especially when you encounter first noble truth reality. When you really hit by it, you check how can you come out of it through this understanding. That's why Eric can come out of it because he kena until kau kau. That's why to him, this is very easy to understand. Like a few people who are in depression for many years, they tell me, Brother Teo, suffering no need to explain. They have gone through it. They had enough experience. He said they can't even tell you how bad it can be. That's why a lot of these people, they share with me their feedback on what happened when they were in this type of depression state. Because first is always the first noble truth reality hit. And the most common one is death, separation from loved one. The second one is disease. Then third one is relationship problem. Relationship problem a lot of people have. Sui Han also brought a lot. So these are the common first noble truth reality that hit living beings. The other one not so much is financial problem, but there are some who really hit by financial problem. But financial problem is the easiest to resolve. Why do I say that? You think financial problem easy to resolve? Easier? when you have financial problem, is it easy to resolve? Huh? Depend. Can give an example, Adam?
My parents
are you need money.
It's a problem that I think is difficult to resolve if nobody is willing to lift a hand for me.
But do you know that the government hospitals are more or less free? If you go to all the government hospitals, especially if your parent already above the age 55, pensionable age, you are actually like a pensioner.
Means they allow...
No, the charges are very low. But you have to bear with it. They will send you to the class ward. Unless you are a government servant, depending on your category of job, then they may allow you to have first class ward entitlement or second class ward. But also depend on availability of bed. Sometimes, like last time, I heard a lot of government servants, they are graduate, so they are entitled to first class bed. So there was one case I remember, the wife went in for delivery. He go and confront the doctor and the hospital admin people. He said, I'm a graduate, I'm a grade A division 1 officer, I'm entitled to first class. What? Why is my wife not in the first class one? You know what they will tell you. Even royalty now also no first class one, we are all occupied. So unless you are lucky, you go there, there are availability of those rooms that you can have. Sometimes you have to wait, you have to queue. So your case is one case which is true, but most people think that it's a problem because they thought private hospital very expensive. That one is very true. Even if you got a lot of money, I tell you, don't test yourself in the private hospital. It can be a very big bill. There was a lady in Singapore wrote in the Facebook and in the internet, the mother, I think critical case, one of the critical disease, could be cancer or what, I forgot already. And she thought, send it to private hospital. It was there 2 months only. Finally, the mother passed away, and the hospital bill come out, 1 over million sing. Because most of the time in ICU and all those things. And the charges are pretty expensive, not easy. Then my brother, his elder son also, one or two years back I think. I forgot how long already. He got a stroke when he was age 40 something. And luckily the shop guy know him, send him to Columbia private hospital. The Columbia private hospital straight away detect knew that is stroke, do a CT scan, but they don't have specialists to handle this type of case, so they send out SOS. Luckily Sunway responded, then HUKM also responded, but HUKM say if nobody take, then only send over. If got people take, let them take. Then Sunway is a private hospital, see? Not cheap. But luckily, my brother's son, he was very lucky. That year, before he kena that stroke, his insurance was due for renewal. The agent go and tell him, now you no more young, no? You above 40 already. You better double your insurance. Luckily, he doubled his insurance to $200,000 maximum, max. And you know what happened? Because of that stroke, he did all the CT scan and he got this insurance. Sunway took him in. And he stayed there total for 2-3 weeks, I think. The $200,000 was almost finished. Just 2-3 weeks. But he went through 2 or 3 operations. So it's not cheap. But if you got no choice, government hospital is really cheap. And all these government hospitals, they are subsidized, greatly subsidized by the government. But what I am trying to explain about financial problem is the normal financial problem outside, not so much of medical one. Yeah? Medical one, of course, you have to attend to it appropriately, depending on your ability, your means. Because if you seek people to help you, how much can people help you? Understand? Even one-off to raise 100,000 is not easy, I tell you. Then for you to borrow 100,000 or 200,000 just to hope that your parent recover in a private hospital, my advice is you cannot afford, go to government hospital first. It doesn't mean that sometimes private hospital is better. I do not deny their facility are better, but their charges are a lot better too. So there is a gray area there. Because what I understand is government hospital, they have the best equipment, I tell you, because it's all funded by government. And a lot of government hospital, they have the latest equipment. Yeah. Certain hospital will have certain type of equipment. Then they have more specialists because like HUKM, UM, even Selayang or UPM, they are teaching hospital. You know what is teaching hospital? They got a lot of professor. Oh. Then they can actually send out SOS and get all this. Now they can do this conference call and discuss their whatever thing. Yeah. So last time we got one classmate also, same I think. My roommate last time also. He got this bypass which was very complicated. So he admitted to Subang. Well, later on after the bypass everything over, he came and talked to me and reviewed all this to me. He said that time he went there, he didn't know what happened. Until he met one of his classmates who is also a doctor, happened to be there. Then he asked him, how come you are here? He said, I don't know, my heart. You are the one, I say. Because they were sending out the SOS to all the doctors, asking for opinion about this bypass. They're very difficult to do. The surgeon also dare not do. Very complicated. Cannot do angio, need bypass. And the bypass also very difficult. They encounter a lot. So that classmate or him told him, you don't stay here because they got no solution for you. Luckily, he told him, you go and look for somebody who can do this. Then his recommendation is go to that Dr. Yahya. You know who is he or not? Hussein on son-in-law. Is him. The one that do the bypass for Mahathir. He went and see him. Luckily, he dare to do it. He said, yeah, they are correct. Nobody dare to do for you. But I can do for you because I have done this type of case before. That's luckily because he went and see him and he do it. And he survived, but not that long, about 7 years or what. I think mainly because he liked to watch football and all those things. So he stayed up late. So that night when he was watching World Cup, he passed away. Mm. So he also government servant, but private sector, when you had to do that, you had to pay because that one, no choice, understand? But the charges were not too expensive because those type of bypass, I think, they charge about 30,000-40,000 only. So that one not so bad. So that one you fix a date, you go in, maybe you need to fast, then they do it. Now that one is cheaper. But if you go in there, stay there in ICU, you know what they do in ICU, they're supposed to have intensive care unit or high dependency unit, HDD, HDU, CCU or whatever. There actually is to charge you. The charges are very, very expensive. Because inside there, everything is supposed to be provided. Then most of the time they don't know what will happen. Then sometimes they keep you, maintain your whatever life force. Then they will talk to you after a while, make sure you can afford it. you cannot afford it, they recommend you to go to GH or other place. Some of the doctors are very good. They really recommend. Is it too expensive for you here? My mother-in-law last time admitted to, because they want to send her to, I forgot which hospital already. I think it's Subang or what. Luckily, the doctor very good. Admitted morning. Then by afternoon, I advised her to discharge. Told my wife and the sister there. He said, here is too expensive. Then he advised them. He said, I will discharge you before what time, otherwise you get another bill. So the morning went in, blood test and all those things, and a few of these doctor consultant, the bill came out 1,000. Just check blood test only. But the doctor was very good. Asked her, do you have insurance? Then he know, because my mother-in-law only speak Hokkien. And you know, then he asked the children, can you all afford? Cannot. He said, the advice is, go GH. But remember one thing, you got any sibling who is a government servant, your parents' medical is free. You go government hospital. That's why my wife, after that, suggest to them, admit to GH. Then later, I think, another incident was UH. Everything was free. That's why they save a lot of money. Then there was one instant, I remember, they were under pressure by their relative that their mother, they should send to private hospital. So the advice was very good. But when it come to paying for the bill, nobody responded. Everybody very good at suggesting. All the uncle, you cannot find them. So finally, the father was under pressure, sent to Asunta. Less than 10 days, I think, they did an operation. The doctor operate, open up, say, cannot, too bad already, put back, close back. And you know what is the bill? Almost 40,000. Then my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, they all, I think they have to go to EPF to withdraw the money to pay the bill. So these are the things that will happen, but you see the condition. You can't afford. The government hospital's door is always open. Understand? Then you say you are retiree. Don't be a hero. Don't go there and say you engineer, you doctor, or what. Your bill is different on the rate. You say you retired, no job. Then they treat you like pensioner. The other thing that I talk about financial problem is your normal financial problem. Let's say you make mistake, you lost a lot of money, then people threaten you with bankruptcy or whatever. They sue you and all those things. As far as financial problem, the worst case scenario, you know what is here or not? Tell the court you want to pay but you cannot afford to pay, you don't have the money to pay. So the worst case scenario is they put you on bankruptcy. If they put you on bankruptcy, they have to spend a lot of legal fees or more. They may think twice whether to put you on bankruptcy or not, unless you make them very angry. So actually financial problem is not a problem, but don't go and borrow from loan shark. You borrow from loan shark, they don't go by rule of law. That one I also don't know how to help you. But if you have financial problem with like credit card, banks, institution, or business failure or whatever, you don't have to worry. The worst case scenario is bankruptcy. Then when you have money, you can clear your bankruptcy. So it's not an issue. And nowadays bankruptcy is very common among the young. They juggle credit card until the credit card burst. I got one case. I think some of you know Sam. He got a cousin sister. He property agent. Then he saw the client make money from property. He also want to be a hero. Also go and invest in property. Good time, okay, because as a real estate agent, you got commission, you can cover. So during bad time, no commission, no business, cannot even survive, and yet the installment has to go on. Then credit card, juggle here, juggle there to try to make ends meet until the bank come after her. Want to lay long the property, then want to charge her and put her on bankruptcy and all those things. So finally he got no choice, he came and see Sam. Then Sam of course taught her a lesson and tell her, you better be honest, tell me how much more debt you have. Or one shot we go and deal with the bank. So he helped him to clear with the bank. So finally he said, you cannot afford, sell the property. If you can, cut loss also cut. Then whatever balance, talk to the bank. So finally all the credit card thing and whatever, but he go and talk to the bank. So because Sam is a financial guy, he's an accountant. I remember he told me, he said, he talked to the bank officer. Cannot, the bank officer say, no way, okay, I want to see your manager. The manager also dare not make the decision. But he tell the manager, he said, I'm also a financial guy. All this loan is already NPL, is it? Non-performing. Whatever you can get back as a bank is bonus already. So if you want, I can help my cousin and sister to pay. But on condition, we talk. Talk means what? All the interest waived. Then take haircut, 50%. If you agree, I write the check now, settle everything. Finally, they agree. Because whatever they recover is profit, understand? So that's how he cleared for them. So there are ways. Because the second option is, Sam told him very simple. My cousin sister willing to go for bankruptcy. So you choose. You file for bankruptcy, she will be in bankruptcy, but what do you get? You get nothing. Then you have to pay legal fee, everything. So kai calculate. The more sensible thing is, don't file for bankruptcy. Take the haircut and waive the interest. That's how you talk to them nicely. No need to argue. No need to, like gangster, put the gun on the table. No need. Yeah, so we are civilized people. We talk things civilized manner. But please, don't go and tell people, say, brother, they'll teach you how to do this. The bank will come after me. These are examples that I really heard, real life example. Oh, never mind, it's okay. Because these are real life example. But you don't go and say, brother, they'll teach this. No, I don't teach. I share with you how people solve this type of problem, understand? So if you have the understanding, you can resolve it. But don't go and make use of this. Yeah, brother, you say worst case, bankrupt only, go and borrow everywhere. Then don't come and see me after that. No point. But I have a few people come out of their financial problem. One of them is our Kayanamita, you also know, but no need to mention him. He has this problem because he has Philippine. So he bought a house for the family. Then he also invests in some shop lot somewhere. The location not so good. So during good time was okay. But suddenly recession hit. The tenant gone, no more tenant. Then he realized his cash flow problem, every month short of 5,000 something to pay installment and to get the ends meet. House expense not yet come, 5,000 plus. Then he was sweating and every session come, cannot meditate. Then I saw him full of fear and worry. I said, what is happening to you? Why are you... Say, brother, I need to talk to you. I got something very bad happening. Then later he told me all this thing. I say, okay, don't worry. Calm down. Remember? First thing, don't panic. Remember? Don't react, project your thought and create all this fear, worry, anxiety. That is what you are doing. That's why you are suffering. I say, calm down. Don't panic. Then write it out. What are your problems? So he one by one, he write it out. Then Then I realized he don't have a problem though. Because he got one and a half story industrial lot, which he bought long time ago. And that one has appreciated a lot, no, but he didn't know. But that one, the rental is very low. So the rental cash flow is very low. And because of that, I asked him, this one, if you go and sell market value, how much can you get? Then he checked with the agent. He also surprised. No, it has gone up to 1.10 million. No. I say, you don't have a problem already. Because you sell this, because the rental is so low, you sell this, then you clear all your house and the shop lot loan, then you don't have loan. Then your 5,000 per month deficit resolved. Because the moment you sell, 10% is 100 over 1,000, is at 1.1 million. Then his installment can last for 20 months, is at 5,000 something, almost 20 months. I say, you don't have problem, right? Then after that, you use the balance of the payment to pay off that house and that shop. Then you are debt free, you know. And all the other rental is your income. Wow, then suddenly he was so happy, you know. Oh, how come I never thought of that? This is how you have to learn to manage your financial. So a lot of things, if you are in the state of confusion, you have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety, you cannot solve your problem because your mind don't have clarity. You are not rational. You don't know how to see things in its true perspective. And you don't know how to resolve issues. So to resolve issues is to work on it through an understanding. Then I say all this is karmic, if you understand. If you have this karmic thing, you need to ask for forgiveness, ask for repentance, you do it. Then invoke power of merit for turnaround. Then at first he tell me, now market so bad at that time, cannot even get a buyer. No. Oh, I say, you have to learn another thing. You don't rely on agent. No. Sometimes agent is like that, owner. You don't follow up. They don't bother about you. You are not a big client. You are not somebody that they know sure can get a commission after they sell for you. You must go and follow up and tell them. You say, I really want to sell. What is the market price? Even the market price lower, never mind. You get me a buyer. If the price is okay, suitable, plus minus maybe 50K or what, I may decide to sell. But you push it for me because I really serious want to sell. And then they will work on it for you. Then you follow up after every week on what you follow up. How is it going? Anybody came for viewing and all those things. If you put in effort and do what you have to do, then you can get hold of the agent to work for you. Well, I also get agents who are hardworking ones. Willing to, well, I am very fair to them. I say, you get me a good tenant, I will pay you the full commission. You don't worry. I don't want to haggle with you and all that, but you do your job. And they like me, they will do for me. That's why when I want to clear, it's very easy. So finally, he managed to sell it all. Then after that, he was so happy, you know. The whole facial thing became different. Until one New Zealand Kayamita came back, that day Sunday class, I remember. Then we went for dinner after that class. You know what Sue told me or not? He said, brother, what happened to that Kayamita? Last time he panicked like anything. Now I look at him, so happy, so radiant, so peaceful. I said, there's one with all this problem. Then now resolve everything. Oh, no wonder. Is it? So you can resolve things with understanding. Don't have to panic. Don't have to fear. Okay? So this is one of the way. The first noble truth reality, whatever hit, don't panic. Don't react. Resolve it through an understanding. Apply noble eightfold path. Right view leading to right understanding. then arise the right thought, right speech, right action, then do the appropriate thing. Yeah. There are only three things you need to do normally to resolve karmic issue. First is to acknowledge the problem through right view with respect to law of karma. It means in the past, you must have done certain things to certain people that entangle your karmic situation in the past. Then this karmic fruition now arises. You must not get angry, become emotional, fearful, and react and get miserable. If you do that, the karmic negativity will surface and you will get afflicted and you have to pay those karma. But like the Buddha said, if you have the Dhamma, you have the wisdom and the understanding, and you know how to accept this reality, then act with wisdom. Act according to understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path. Then you can solve your problem. Means, with right view, I accept what happened, because this is a common reality. So when I accept, I do not panic anymore. I do not develop the fear, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, all this wrong thought no more. Then I have calmness. I calm myself down. Then I have clarity of mind. Then I ask myself, what actually is my problem? Try to understand what actually happened. Then write them down. Then the second question or inquiry is, how can I resolve this amicably so that I can move on? I only have to make a decision. Worst case scenario is, I say, chop it off. And I say, the shop lot that you cannot afford, chop it off. But he said, that place so remote, cannot find buyer. He tried, he said, cannot. So I taught him the agent thing also. He said, because that place really cannot. So sometimes when you buy property where the location is really bad, it's not easy to sell unless you're willing to throw at a very low price. They use this word, cut loss. It's very painful to cut loss. But sometimes you've got no choice. Because you have a situation, you need to make a decision, you make. Once that decision is made, it resolves the whole thing. So, do it. Even at the expense of like cutting loss means losing some money or losing most of the money. What to do? If you have the understanding, you tell yourself, money you can make it back, understand or not? But life, when you lose it, you cannot get it back, understand or not? So whatever money can solve is not a problem. And that is a good formula. You agree or not? Whatever money can solve is not a problem. Because relatively it's so much easier. If money can solve. But I don't mean the counting people on a place, not that time. If you can resolve a misunderstanding, let's say accident or what, if you can afford, tell the other party, don't worry, claim my insurance, or if you want to settle or court, I can pay you off, provided not too much. Then 500, 1,000 pay people, then no more headache, understand? Everything solved. You can afford. Why you want to haggle with them and create all the problem? Then they become, because sometimes they are only motorbike guy. They are in more difficult position than you. But of course, those who try to trick you and get you to pay one, that one is different. That one you talk to them nicely, you say, no problem, my insurance fully covered, claim my insurance, I support you, let's go police station. Then they will know already. Then they say, la dera. Then they will try to get some money from you and they will just resolve it. So these are the possibility of solution. So Dhamma can be used to effectively resolve your first noble truth problem, or so-called problem, inverted comma. Okay? How did we come there? Your question was different, isn't it? How did we end up here? he asked something in it. Oh, I asked whether anybody agree about financial problem. Oh, yeah, now I know. I was giving her the first number two reality. I say the more difficult one are separation, death, then health problem, then relationship problem. These three are very difficult to resolve. It demand understanding, especially people in depression and all those things. But if they are in depression, ask them to listen to all this. They will come out of it. I always share it in a more direct way, because these people will not listen to you. They want a quick fix. Do you understand? So normally, you tell them, if they don't have the condition or affinity to receive the Dhamma, if they don't have the past, they will argue with you. They don't agree with what you say. They say, this is my problem, I have to resolve it. Yeah, I say, you have to resolve it, but you have to resolve it with your understanding, with your wisdom. You worry about it and do all these funny things, how can you resolve it? No amount of fear and worry can help you resolve your problem. So how to resolve? Develop the understanding of the teaching. So if they are willing to listen, then okay, then it can be done, it can be resolved. But sometimes they are not interested. So if they are not interested, I will turn the thing around already. I'm not going to talk and reason to him anymore. We have no point. Then I will remind him, please understand why you come and see me. It's because you have problem, not I have problem. You don't have to listen to what I tell you. You don't have to believe what I tell you. Because it's your problem, your life. You better decide how you want to live your life. And I explain very easily. I say, whatever happened to anybody, there are two ways to deal with it. One way is to worry about it, lament over it, and become miserable over it. That is what you have been doing. And if you continue what you are doing, if you don't want to listen to what I tell you and don't want to try it out, then you ask yourself. The outcome is already established. Because for so long you are in it and you get yourself miserable and entangled. So if you don't change, that is going to be the continual result. But if you're willing to listen and give yourself a chance, at least you give it a try, you stand a chance of coming out of it. And not only you, a lot of people have come out of it. Then the other way to put it is, to tell him, you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. Why don't you make the correct choice? If you choose to be happy, you'll be happy. Then they become different now. Then they don't argue with you anymore, I realize. Then they say, yeah, so what must I do? Again, that question comes now. What must I do? I say, you cannot ask this type of question. You ask this type of question, you never learn. It's not what must you do. You must develop the understanding to come out of it. Come out of it means what? Don't go and worry about it. Don't project your thought and become miserable over it. Means, understand this teaching. These are first noble truth reality. Not only you have to confront. Every human being that live long enough, that fall into this category of condition, will have to confront this difficulty, like disease. A lot of people confront death of a loved one, separation due to whatever reason, relationship or whatever. A lot of people in this world, they have to go through it. So what is the difference between a person who suffer and a person who don't suffer? The person who suffer are people like you, without the understanding of the teaching. That's why you go and worry about it, hold on to it, and become miserable over it, until you develop all the depression, the sorrow, the lamentation. Then you become like afflicted, very badly afflicted. Then that depression can be very severe. Then you develop suicidal thought and all those things. So all this, once you explain to them, they were acknowledged because they really went through it. Especially when I mentioned suicidal thought. Many of these people tell me, yeah, Brahadi, it really happened. But I'm not so, one of them say, but I'm not so stupid to do that. I say, you haven't kena yet. When the condition is such, you are no more conscious. You are no more rational. And you know, the thought will force you to do it. There's a lot of people commit suicide. And sometimes young people also do that. You saw in the news, isn't it? So now, that part finished. We come back to 10 million.
But my question is this. Was just now you was talking about if you have anything in your mind, you just tell the thought that
I will attend to it later.
So just now what happened to me is that actually I don't really have something on there, but it's just like restlessness, I can say.
That restlessness of mind is like what I tell you. You should go back to the question of what is meditation.
At that point,
are you training your mind to be mindful, to be heedful? Once you inquire that way and your understanding will come out, then you will not go and try to do away with that restless mind. But that is fighting it, suppressing it, trying to use another thought to deal with it. Understand? That one won't solve your problem.
A lot of things happen. It's like, then I ask myself whether, what is meditation? Is it to really like go into anapana or like, you know, go to stillness, or is it to understand what is happening in the mind? So it's like,
you see, all these questions will make you more confused. You understand or not? Because what I have been sharing with you all is you should contemplate until very, very clear. Understand? Very, very clear means what? It's no more another question, must I do anapanasati? Must I calm my mind? Well, all these are from the thought. The thought cannot do all this, but he give you idea. Understand now? That's why it's just like people ask, so Brighton, what must I do? Like that, you never learn. You understand? Correct, I know it's not like that, but I'm trying to give you the example. Because for you to have the understanding by now, what you should do is, you should understand this heedfulness very clearly. Very simple, isn't it? Heedfulness means what? Two parts. Ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. So, what am I doing in the name of meditation? Am I training my mind to be ever mindful? To be ever mindful, I have to be mindful first. Then I stabilize it. Is my mind mindful? If not, train. Develop the spiritual faculty or mind sweeping matter. Then let it settle down. Once settle down, stabilize it with an object of meditation, anapanasati. Then after that, let the mind relax, aware, and enter sati. The silent mind must enter sati. Then your daily mindfulness will come about. Then when your daily mindfulness come about, you can develop the ability to be ever mindful. Go for that. Forget about the restlessness and what the thought tell you, must I do anapanasati or must I go into calmness? All this is still the thought. Do you understand? That's why this understanding is very important. I always give the advice. You need to meditate with understanding. When you understand, you know what to do, you know what to meditate on. But if you don't have the understanding, the same thought will come in different way in disguise through the back door and tell you different things. Then you are busy dealing with all these thoughts. Do you understand? Because you have this tendency, is because you, during the early days or so, I remember, you were doing this type of so-called mindfulness, which you thought it was mindfulness, off it first, without the distortion. Thank you. So this thought that you have, you say you can see your thought, like just now you say, is restless, then running very fast. Then later on, you will see another thought telling you something else. Then another thought in the background telling you something. Actually, they are all thought, nothing else. That's why forget about them. Forget about them means what? Don't want to think. Just reflect, contemplate, and understand. Question one, am I mindful? If I am not mindful, I have to develop it, and so on. Then how to develop it? So that, the question will direct you to what to do. If you have the mental hindrance, you have been heedless in the midst of life, which I don't think you are. Let's say if you have, then start with mind sweeping method, followed by metta. Understand? Then calm yourself down, temporarily keep the mental hindrance at bay. Then after that, use anapanasati to stabilize it. Then let the mind enter sati. Then develop the daily mindfulness. That's why the religious routine is very important. The daily mindfulness is very important. If you have been doing all this, you have been listening to the Dhamma, reflection, contemplation, develop the Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, develop the initial wisdom, then you realize your mind will have less and less reaction to sense experience. Then you will have less of this heedless thinking. Then when you sit, you got no problem. Now your problem starts because in the office, you become heedless again. Understand? That's where you have to work on. So learn to be mindful in the midst of your career life while you're in the office. Unless you stabilize that, because you spend 8 hours there, involved in all this thinking. But that is a good training ground. Because without that, you never train. You can be mindful in that career environment. Your daily mindfulness will be very stable. That's what I did when I was in the working career that time. I told you that your daily religious routine must start from home. Well, home, you are more in charge. You are in control. You are less distortion and all those things, and your senses are not fully engaged. You can do things at your own pace. But the moment you come out of the house, your senses have to be fully engaged because you are in life. Like driving, then go to work, you got to do all your planning, whatever work task that you are given or assigned, then you have to resolve things. Then initially it's not easy to have mindfulness while doing your work, especially in the career environment, because there are a lot of issues you need to deal with, sometimes meeting and all those things. Then deadline, then you are given assignment and all those things. Then sometimes you depend on people for feedback. You have to discuss issue with people, resolve problem. And the worst is if you deal with client, and the client are not the one that are friendly and all those things. Then sometimes certain job, they are forced to go out to do sales. NSL and marketing. I tell you, a lot of young graduates are under tremendous pressure because they don't have the experience and they are being pushed to deliver and they want target. But some of them find it very interesting. They have the passion because they are motivated. That's why they do. And these are the people who have better karma because they were trained by the trainer. If you go by statistics, you approach 100 people, at least 2 or 3 will buy from you or agree to listen to you and support you. So based on statistics, you must go out very often, see more people. But if you are the timid type, you call what? Introvert type, you cannot do this type of job, understand? Because you will have problem when you try to go out and meet people. Sometimes they can't even break the ice, understand? Open the mouth or scared them. down there. So sometimes I pity all the young guys. I will smile to them and say, yeah, what do you have? Okay, today I'm not free. Yeah. So please, let me resolve my thing first. Because normally I have to go to the bank or what. Then after that, I come out, I'm free, I will talk to you. So sometimes it's interview. Interview, they can get some money. That one, okay. But don't, because I say this, then you become gullible. If you are in the mall, please don't let them do it. Because nowadays, all this scam and all those things. They will entice you, say, this one, good offer. You sign. It won't cost you anything. And then you get yourself entangled. Then sometimes they trick you with other things. So don't be a good-hearted fool. It's not to say you must help people. What I do is, if I sure these are genuine one and they are very new and they really need to learn, then I may try to help them. But those who are already expert one, normally I just wave my hand. I say, no, it's okay. You are really expert. They're not shy one, or they come. Uncle! Then they come with the fire. Then they speak very fast one. Just 2 minutes, 3 minutes, that they tell you. So you know, these are seasoned one. This one no need to help. So this one you say thank you. There you go. You have to learn. Then sometimes you don't get yourself into a situation where you can get into trouble. Because sometimes coming from your past, in the past you could have cheated people before or deceived people before. Then this life got condition, you will get yourself into such situation. And you can also get into trouble. So in life, we need to be very, very attentive. We need to be very mindful of what we are doing. If we can avoid the condition, please avoid first until you have the wisdom and the understanding. Don't be too eager to help when you are not ready. Just take care of your life first. This is not selfish. This is to protect yourself because you haven't had the understanding yet. You cannot deal with such situation yet. So don't be too eager to help. But if it's somebody you know, then different, like your niece or your cousin or whatever, then they need some help. Then you can recommend some friend. You go and see my friend. They are willing to talk to you. Then maybe they will buy some investment product from you. Because they have this. Sometimes they sell insurance also. So these are the things. So coming back to your case now is clear. Because whatever the thought tell you enough already, where you have gone into it for too long, if you continue to approach it from that direction, you will be always getting the thought giving you different idea and different suggestion. And this will not solve your problem. To solve your problem is be very clear about what you are doing in the name of meditation. That's why pariyatti is very important. Phase one of Dhamma is to learn the teaching. What is the teaching all about? When it comes to meditation, what is meditation as taught by the Buddha? You have to start with heedfulness. Then from there, you write it down. One by one, it will come out. Then it becomes a routine. Yeah, every time you sit, it's relaxed, silent, aware. Then your mind settle down. Then you can meditate. When you can reach that stage, I sadhu you. You are destined for enlightenment. Right? Because after that, the daily mindfulness, you only need to stabilize it. That's why step 4 and step 5 is very important. Step 2 will lead to step 4. Step 2 is listening to the Dhamma. Then you reflect, you contemplate. First, second, turning wisdom. Then from there, you straighten your view. You develop the initial wisdom. Then at the moment of sense experience, this initial wisdom, they will come out and prompt you. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Then when you meditate also, it will come and prompt you. The untrained mind is heedless. Let it think. No need to do anything. Relax, silent. Then find out for yourself what happened. When you relax and silent, other hindrance may come, like sloth and torpor. Stay with it. Be with it. Then see what happens. The shift of consciousness will come. It will shift. This is how you learn. And all these are self-learning type of meditation. If you don't have this understanding, you will not have the understanding to move. But you have this understanding through the phase one of Dhamma, Pariyatti, then all this become very clear. And you ask yourself, is my spiritual faculty there? If it's there, I just relax, silent, I'm in the meditative state. If it's not there, I need to train, I train. If I already have some sati, then I go to the object of meditation. Then I silence my mind there and develop the mindfulness. Then as I develop the mindfulness, I relax into it and silence my mind. Then stabilize it until we enter sati. Then come out of it with mindfulness again. Then develop your daily mindfulness. Start with your house activity, religious routine. Then move out from your house activity to your daily life. Then to your career environment. Then back to your home environment. So all this is part and parcel of the total training. That's why life itself is a meditation. You cannot be mindful in the midst of life. You have not developed the real meditation. The real meditation only arises when you can be in the midst of life, mindful, aware, and heedful. So heedfulness is all the time in the midst of life. Because the Buddha said, the moment you are not heedful, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. So you have to be heedful and mindful in the midst of life. Technically, it's throughout the day until your sleeping moment. Then later on, in your sleeping moment also, you can go into it. And this daily mindfulness is very funny. I finish this verse. You cannot stop halfway and become complacent. You have to develop it until the continuity becomes so stable, until the mind and the body become like one. Means the awareness, the sti is natural. It has become a part of you. Then this stability of mindfulness is the one that allow you to see a lot of things, understand a lot of things, awaken to the Dhamma and the truth. I realize without the mindfulness, you cannot see your defilement. You cannot see the functioning of your mind, the dependent origination, and how you function as a human being, and who are you, what are you. All you cannot understand. You maybe understand theory, but without the daily mindfulness, with the stability of mindfulness that make this mind extraordinarily sensitive, you cannot see all this. And when you cannot see, you cannot awaken, because it's still at the knowledge level, Dhamma knowledge. But contemplation, reflection, the second turning is very important. That's why true hearing is the first turning. Then you reflect, contemplate, second turning. And when these two stabilize, it prepares the base for you to receive truth. Then after that, the third turning, the silent mind, you will awaken. The direct seeing will come. It will happen. What is your question? The mind. The mind. Use the mic.
One more. Okay.
For the recording.
Brother Teo, I would like to share with the sister here. I used to be like her before. But I have learned a technique. And I like to say this word. When the thoughts all coming and disturbing me, as brother just mentioned the word mindful. I be mindful, I will tell that thought, say, this thought, I forgive you.
That is also one of the ways to soften it.
It has worked very well with me. And because of this, I have changed a lot too. So
when you are able to forgive, means you free yourself. When you forgive, means you no longer dislike or hate that person or the thought. Means no more aversion towards the thought. So indirectly, it will make you happy. Then it will change you, definitely. Because you no more reactive like last time.
I do my meditation, it really helped me. Through that, I've become a better person now.
Definitely. If you can forgive your thought, you can forgive other people too. Thank you. You go back. She got one more question. Yeah.
Actually, I think just now I say it another way. When the thought arrives, then after you explain, the restlessness arises because the wanting to run away from that situation.
Yeah. You don't like that state of mind.
And then that's why having the urge to like wanting to focus on something
so that won't arise.
But somehow then the relaxed thing I was like, okay, relax. If hold on to it, okay, relax. Even though there's a lot of things happening, like I also saw like the old tendency of wanting to rectify that.
That's why you try to do something to it. You're fighting that hindrance. You're fighting that mind state that you don't like. That is mental aversion, which is a mental hindrance. That's why when you do that, you actually give more power to mental hindrance. You create more mental hindrance. That's why I say just relax. Accept the reality of the moment. Untrained mind is heedless. It will think. Because in the work environment, you still haven't stabilized. Otherwise, when you sit, you don't have such problem. I remember when I came out to test myself in 1989, I already. Then I came out to the private sector. In private sector, I know a lot of pressure. It's like a pressure cooker. A lot of stress and all those things. So I heard about it. But I want to come out and test myself. That's why I joined the private sector after that to test. And I really found out what happened. That's why I can advise people. It's because of that. When I came out to work in the private sector, there were so many things I need to learn. Because as an engineer, I has been a client and work for government, very type of job. No need to worry on everything, is you are in charge on. But as a consultant, after so many years didn't do design, I had to learn how to do design. Then I had to learn the process of developing the skill of a civil engineering consultant. We are in the civil work and structure part, CNS they call civil and structure, but I specialize in civil. My structure also quite good, but our office got a very strong structure division, so I went in to help them in the civil works. Well, civil engineering is a very big field and very complicated. It's more of an art than a technical subject. So because of that, I went in there. Then I was in charge of very big project, very complicated project. But that time my mind already transformed. A lot of things I cannot do already. But luckily I'm very experienced. Then I was also very skillful in my career. So what happened was when I went there, I started to do all those things. Then I saw the fine suffering in my brain. I say this is not right. But then, because I accepted the job, I need to work on it. So I work on it. And you know what happened or not? Because I have been having the free mind for so long, suddenly I need to work. The first week, you know what happened or not? I saw all this Sankara movement coming out again. Because of what I need to, like remember things and learn things. Then I just sat on my chair before I even went off. I sat on my chair after 5:30. I sat on my chair, I just relaxed. Then I saw the Sankara all still moving, because of what I did earlier on in the day. But because I know how to meditate, I understand all this, I just let it be. Then I realized this one starts to slow down very fast. Within 2 or 3 minutes, I went into stillness again. That's why I know I got no more problem already. So every time this one come out, no problem. I just relax, silent. I went into it. And the mind just stabilized very fast. because of the understanding. But all this sankhara was set down. But you need to have this strong contemplative wisdom. Yoniso manasikara. That's why I reflect, contemplate deep into it until very, very clear. My teacher Acharya Sra reminded me no less than six occasions. When I was with him alone, he always said, we just contemplate until the Dhamma very, very clear. Very, very clear means you really understand the essential Dhamma and all the things that the Buddha taught. Dhammapada was 21, 22, 23, verse 1 and 2, and all those important teaching. So once that one is understood, I realize the mind is different. You will know what to do. You will know how to handle things, handle situation, resolve things, resolve situation. And it can be at peace all the time. No more problem. Need to work. After work, silence. Then later on, not long, I remember, because I told you 9 months later, the Monday mind collapse. After the Monday mind collapse, my problem all gone. The very sensitive mind, the fine suffering, all this no more. Doesn't disturb me anymore. But before the Monday mind collapse, all these things come, show it to me. And it's like telling you, if you want to suffer, use the mind. If you want to suffer, go and do all this. It becomes so sensitive. That's why you will come to understand all this, because as you cultivate, you will go through all this unfolding and transformation. Oh, 10:30 already, so fast. So that one, I think, is very important. Your question is still the same. So finally, when you understand, you will know how to do all these things. So give it a try. Every time, remind yourself, I need to be heedful, I need to be mindful. So in the office also, when you are doing things, remember to be aware from within. Initially, aware of your posture. You know how to be aware of your posture. Sitting aware, standing aware, walking aware. Then phone call, the hearing consciousness also aware. Then your hand want to move to answer that phone call, also aware. Then when you bring it to your ear, also aware. Then when you listen, also aware, attentive. Then it becomes very different. Then you talk also different. You reply also different, because with heedfulness inside. Then you will have this right thought leading to right speech, right action, born of right view. Then the kindness, the goodness, all will be there. So these are the training you must do when you are in the office. Or for those who are retired, when you are at home, you can also develop the daily mindfulness in that way. The religious routine is very important. Every morning I wake up, I will pay respect to Triple Gem, whatever direction. Then I will sit and meditate. I remember. Then I radiate metta. Then I share merit, transfer merit. Then I end the session. Then after that, if I need to wash up, I wash up. Then I get ready to go downstairs for breakfast. Then when I see my author, I will pay respect on last time. I never fail to do it. Then before I leave my house also, I was developing all this daily mindfulness. Then when I reach out for my car key, away. Then when I take my office bag away, I walk, open the door away, move out, wear the shoe all away, open the gate all away. Then how I on the alarm of the car to open the car door, fully away. Then how I reach the car, the hand, open the thing. Then how my body go in, fully away. Then how I close the door, fully away. That's why I hardly think that time. Then how I, the initial key, how I put it into the ignition and on, fully aware. But most of you are not. You think a lot. How you go into your car also you don't know. how you start the car, so you don't know. Because your thought move faster than what you do, and you are planning, scheming, or who am I supposed to see? What is my first thing that I must do when I reach the office? Then you got something like remind you, or you must remember to do this, remember to do that. You tend to think about it. So most important thing to learn is to write it on a piece of paper, the thing that you have to attend to, so that you don't have to keep it in the memory. But if you make a note of it, when the time comes, you realize the brain will know one. It will prompt you one. You have to meet up with this person when it's near to that appointment or what. You will come to know when you are mindful and aware. All this will surface one. But if you write it down, of course, it's much better. Then you can go through it as you reach your office, which are the things you need to clear. That's why I teach my wife also, important thing, do first. Don't go and like wait. And I say, important thing, make sure you handle it properly, because these are important things. Not important one, never mind, later on also can. But important thing, resolve it first. Okay. So with that, we stop. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So today, the whiteboard got nothing. No need to write anything. Yeah, empty. So I don't say empty. So no need teaching already. Okay, let us share merit, transfer merit. Then invoke blessing for the nation. Then you make your aspiration. Akasata cha pumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkantu loka sasana itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Deo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu ca vito bhavatu loko ca Raja bhavatu dhammiko ikmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect to Pajama, then we end. Thank you. Thursday is still here, Brother Suyan's house. After that, Pamasuri's house for 2 weeks. very fast, August already coming to. Then not long, our gathering of Kalimita, October.